So in this episode, I'm going to talk to you about how to cope with or when, people have been incredibly cruel to you. And I'm going to talk from the heart, actually. So I might actually get a bit upset, but we will make it fun because I do believe that humour cures everything, and you learn quicker when you're smiling, right? So get a tea, get a coffee. I just got a coffee. Yeah. Gosh, sorry. I slept for another 9 hours. There is something going on with me. I make no sense. In the winter, I have 5, 6 hours sleep. I've got all the energy in the world. In the summer or the spring, I'm hibernating. Yeah, what's that about? Lol. Hang on, let me take a sip. Right, so when someone has been cruel to you, oh, it's horrible, isn't it? It haunts you. You may get up in the morning, it's the first thing you think about. It might be the last thing you think about at night. You just can't process. So you find yourself going through this kind of rumination of ruminating of like, why, what, when, why? And it's just, you find yourself freezing sometimes. So you just get stuck, and then you realize you've been staring at something for about 5 minutes. And I know that happens to me. And I do believe that's why my stress has, I say I don't produce cortisol very well. I actually feel like an elastic band that was stretched too much, and now it's just a limp. Yeah, but I have a good attitude and a good mind, so we're good. You find yourself just keep going back there and trying to process the cruelty and just keep revisiting it. So it's a life sentence in its own right, the healing process. But it just doesn't feel like it goes away, or you can't fix it. Well, to be honest, I think you're not going to from that perspective, because ultimately you can't get inside of a mind of someone who's cruel. Like, how can you make sense of the stuff that doesn't make sense? It's all over the place, isn't it? So how can you, like, I worked at a mental health facility, and a mental health nurse said to me, like, because I used to say, I don't understand why they did that. And she said, you're never going to make sense. Well, you can't bring rationale to the irrational. And I thought, well, there you go. Yeah. So let me take a sip. Hang on. So how can we help ourselves, right? Because I have had cruelty, and it's been so haunting. It's unbelievable. So nasty. So nasty. And for a very long period of time. And I get those moments where I freeze, and I get those moments where I don't want to speak to anyone. I get really freaked out if anyone wants to come close to me. Yeah. Emotionally, especially. Yeah. And I find relationships incredibly hard because I just don't trust anyone. So, like, that's not nice, is it? It's not really living a full life. So, how? I'm going to give you some personal tips. So, what I started to do, first of all, was I accepted it. I no longer ask myself the question, did that happen? Did they do that? Surely it can't be that bad. Did they? It helped me get to that point when I started talking to people and started opening up. Not in a therapizing way, just kind of I'd mention stuff. I'd be like, oh yeah, well, blah 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 blah. And I would see people's faces. It would drop. And I would think, well, why are they shocked? I'm not. Because, well, you become kind of normalized to it, right? So it helped kind of realize that the majority of people, well, I found no one that actually sided with it. So actually, I would say the majority, I'd say all. It really helped when I started to just mention it very quickly, just drop it in and just be a bit more vocal. So that helped, because accepting it and saying, well, okay, so that happened then, and you did that for a very long period of time, and you did this, this, and this, and it was just emotionally so cruel. So accepting that they did it, kind of definitely brought a sense of relief, because I was able to kind of close the chapter of the whys. Essentially, what you want to do is you want to ask the questions. So answer the questions that you've asked, sorry. So The why, we've just ticked off the why. So you want to go like, why, where, when, and all that. So you want to, any questions that you have, just tick them off. So, the question of did that happen? Well, yes, it did. So I was able to close that off. Tick. I might little, to be honest, taking a step away from this conversation, I might be a little bit scattered. I'm realizing I'm doing it now. I get very nervous when I talk about things like this. Yeah, because and but I'm going to keep going if you don't mind, because I think it would be really good to see how it affects me emotionally and psychologically, so that you can relate to it. So it's a very vulnerable podcast, if I'm honest. I don't want any praise for that, by the way. I'm just saying, I'm just going to keep going so that you can see, wow, like I get confused and stuff, and I get a bit. So it still has an effect. So I am going to show you, but just a very, very honest way of doing it. So I'm all over the place mentally now. I can't think what I'm thinking about. So this is what happens when you have to relive it. Your mind goes, goes like, scattered. So yeah, wow. Okay, so let's just get back into my body for a second. Just wiggling my toes. So understanding that it did happen was. It was a bit of a double whammy, I'm not going to lie, because ultimately it made me feel better that what I felt was true. But ultimately it led to this kind of like devastation of like, oh my God, it did happen. Like, what a horrible thing to do or be or, keep doing, For me, it wasn't one event, it was a consistent, couple of events over a long period of time. It was just one cruel act after another, to be honest. And it just effed with my brain. So then the next step was kind of like realizing that processing the reality of, wow, okay, that did happen and those things did occur was a bit too much. And I had to realize that it is too much. I went to therapy. I don't continue to go to therapy, for various reasons. It served a purpose for that one thing, and it helped to kind of get it off my chest for a bit. But I didn't want to keep talking about it, and I found that talking therapy just does that. It's a constant stream of talking about it. So I thought, right, I'm going to take control of my own life a little bit, and I'm going to talk about, I'm going to process it myself, So I took my power back a little bit, yeah. So then what ends up happening is, you are almost paralyzed by this feeling of, oh my God, like that shot, it like you're shocked. And then the next feeling, it almost feels like it gets worse, if I'm honest, by admitting it, because the next feeling you get is, well, why me? Why did you bully me? Why did you pick on me for all those years? Like, why did you make my life so awful? And why do you continue to taunt me? So, I mean, my level of cruelty is just, this consistent pursuit of trying to snare me, pull me in, drag me down, and make me feel as shit as possible, And it's a continued thing. It's like being stalked. It's horrendous. And so I really have a lot of empathy and sympathy for people who, have gone through this level of stress. Definitely youngsters who are being bullied at school. What the hell? And it just feels like it gets worse because then the emphasis is on you, on what's wrong with you. Why did why is it so insufferable? Like, why was their campaign targeted at you? It's just constant. So my next question, I thought I need to ask another question so that I can tick it off. Like, did that actually happen? That got ticked off. So my next question was, why me? Like, why me? And then I got real about it and I was like, hang on a minute, did this person just target me? And I thought, no, they target everyone they come in contact with. They snare people in and they completely ruin them, and then they play the victim. And I thought, oh, well, there's the answer then. So it's not me, it's just that I was in that position in that space and time, you know, and my empathy and sympathy got completely used. So I was like, so okay, I can answer that one. So that why me is actually why not me, because they seem to do it to everybody. The thing is with the people that did it with me was they're incredibly duplicitous. In front of some people, they're incredibly nice. But then in others, everyone else sees them for who they are. So I'm like, actually, there's me kind of romanticizing it and, you know, being a bit of a victim in it. But really, these people are just destructive, you know? So the more questions you can ask yourself, the more you'll be led to this answer where it actually has nothing to do with you, which alleviates you from it. And it starts to get better. So, you know, I said it starts to get worse at the beginning because you're like, oh my God, this happened and this happened and this happened. Like facing your issues and facing your problem just takes you down a bloody rabbit hole. But actually, you start to turn a corner at some point. It doesn't go on for very long, the suffering. You start to turn a corner and you start to feel a hell of a lot better about yourself and start going, oh, it's not me at all. And you start to see them for who they are. So the detachment starts. And then what I found really, really worked was being incredibly determined, incredibly tenacious to my mission. So I had to create a mission. And my mission was to be as graceful and as kind and as intelligent as I could be. Now, I didn't give myself huge landmarks. Like, I don't want to graduate from Oxford, you know, with a first or anything like that. I mean, I'd love to, but I don't really think I have the time to study to that volume. So I was like, so what could I do with the capacity that I have? And I thought, I can read a lot of books, that's fine, I can do that. And then I thought, physically, I need to change because my physical body is in direct accordance to the treatment that I've had. So I had a lot of aches and pains. I had a lot of anxiety, even. I would hide myself away. Like some days I couldn't leave the house because I was just so overwhelmed and I just needed to heal. So on the outside, people think you have this anxiety disorder and this depression. But I don't think I did. I think I was overwhelmed, and I'm going to take ownership of my own feelings. So I really don't like being diagnosed by others in that sense. I was just so overwhelmed and shut down that my brain and my body just needed to heal. You see, but from the outside, people are, oh, she's so depressed and so anxious. Yes, I had anxiety, but it would like come up now and again and randomly. But when I shut down, that was a different thing. That was a healing thing. So I recognized that I had all these ailments where which was taking me away from living. And I couldn't get close to people emotionally, and I couldn't trust anyone. Because every time I trusted someone, they did exactly the same thing. Because I was still programmed to find the familiar. Honestly, my life has been really cruel when I look back. Oh, I'm getting a bit upset. It's been incredibly cruel on how people have treated me. Really, really bad. And I'm not the only one. So I know you're hearing this going, well, yeah, I've had some shit as well. So we're all in this together, aren't we? So we're going to get through it together, okay? Now, what I realized was by setting myself this goal of being the best version of the person that I always wanted to be, you know, I always had an incredible curiosity and adventure streak. I think it's my Sagittarius moon, to be honest. I allowed that to come in and I thought my body needs to change. So I completely changed my diet. I completely changed my exercise routine and I got into shape. And I felt really, really good. But inside, I still felt a bit timid. But I felt so much better about myself because I could see in the mirror the person that I always wanted to be, you know? And so that helped to transform, to physically transform. Now then, what we need to do now is we need to emotionally transform and psychologically transform. There is no point physically transforming if those two things are still in place because ultimately your Psychology and your emotional landscape will sabotage it. So we need to work on those things. So how I did those ones was emotionally, I'm still a little bit working on that. Only because I've been praying every day for a really good egg to come into my life. I just need one really good person as an example, and then I know what I'm looking for. You know, like Marissa Peer says, you always go to the familiar. I just need one really kind, nice person. Oh, I'm gonna get upset. I don't know, as a mentor, like take me under their wing a little bit. Yeah, and then I know what I'm looking for. So then what I do is I constantly watch positive things, right? And I watch stuff which is empowering, and I watch stuff which is hopeful. And I write down a lot of things. So I write down my 20 compliments every day, and I write down things that I appreciate. So I'm on that frequency. It's very easy, so I highly recommend you do it, okay? So you have to reprogram your mind. And I took an incredibly bold step and I got rid of everyone. I literally did a guillotine and I got rid of everyone who made me feel very confused. Now then, this is your superpower. Your superpower is that you will be incredibly sensitive to head fucks. Yeah. So when you are feeling like you're having some kind of attack or some kind of anxiety or some kind of, oh, I'm not sure, you will know that is your body saying that that nice, kind person who's smiling isn't good. So don't underestimate it. Because it's so easy when you've gone through something like this, or you've gone through a really bad relationship, to again gaslight yourself going, oh, well, it's because I'm traumatized. Yeah. So that person's really nice. I don't know why, but I just keep pushing them away. No. You're spot on, babe. Sweetheart, you're so spot on. It's untrue. So you've actually feels like, a bit of PTSD symptoms going on, but you've got to trust it because you will know more than anyone and quicker than anyone, who's messing with your head a little bit. So the first thing I did was, well, one of the first things I did was I got rid of that social landscape, and boy, did they not like it. Yeah, because of course I friended, whatever the word is, the familiar. So all these horrible, narcissistic, selfish people were not going silently because I was a supply. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, it's one battle after another. It's like one battle realizing that you've got to get yourself out of stuff. The second battle is fighting for yourself. The third battle is getting everyone out. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But if you can do those things, if you can focus on yourself and say, I'm going to fight for myself back, I'm going to fight for my mental health back, I'm going to fight for my physical health, my emotional health, I'm going to get it back. And if you can, you see, my brain is all over the place because I'm almost like recalling things, which isn't nice. But if you can if you can adopt strategies such as, okay, I need to do mental, emotional, and physical. I need to do three practices that are going to help those things. You will see a significant change in yourself within a month. It doesn't take long to shift energy. It really doesn't. So you can do it. And I'm being really raw in this one. So I appreciate, you're so kind. And, you always feed back to me which ones are your favorite. And you always feed back to me your testimonials. And you have so much tolerance for me because, I am all over the place sometimes. And, my lifestyle and who I fall in love with and everything, you just accept it. And you're absolutely brilliant. And, you're just incredible. So, yeah, even this podcast, I'm all over the place and I really appreciate it. The reason I'm all over the place is because I want to show you, because I speak to so many people who have PTSD, who have trauma, who have been abused, and it's just like, you can do it. And I need to be raw for you, because there's nothing worse than someone who is guarding themselves and cold, telling you everything's going to be all right. And it's like, no, but how? Like, how do I get there? This is how you get there, babes. Think mentally, emotionally, physically. Think of three things you can do to help shift those things. Reading is incredible. And I'll tell you why reading is incredible, because it gives you words, it gives you language. When you start and have the ability to put language and words to your feelings, you free yourself. It's like this whole narcissistic movement at the moment. It's everywhere, isn't it? Everyone's a narcissist, everyone's a narcissist. But actually, it's good because we are now adding words to behaviors which we tolerated and accepted and allowed to abuse us. So now we are sticking these words on, and it's like, oh my God. So words illuminate, and words give us the foundations to build. So words are really important. So it doesn't matter what you read. I'll always lean towards self-development because of the Sagittarius moon. Love self-development. But of course, novels and things normally, like I've just got a bird watching book so that I can learn about birds and, the different types of birds. New words, you see, new words. And emotionally, it's about, you have to find the compassion. So it's about adding kindness and compassion towards yourself. The kindness and compassion you're looking for someone else to soothe you have to do that yourself. So I would love one example of just someone who is kind and caring and looking out for me. Just one. But I know I have to do that for myself first, because then I know what it feels like. So when someone comes along, it's like for like, it's familiar, because now I know what the language is. I know a manipulative little twat from a mile off, but that I need to learn. So you have to learn it first yourself, okay, babe? Have to learn it yourself. Now, psychologically, again, reading, emotionally, compassion, and loving yourself. Self-love always starts with yourself. And then physically, right, I need to squeeze the energy out of those cells. Yeah, I need to start changing my nervous system. So go on a food elimination thing. I personally eat like ancestors. Yeah, so I just don't have any of this carb sugar stuff. I don't, bleh, no thanks. And it just doesn't suit me. I don't like it. It gives, every time I have carbs and sugar, it gives me anxiety. I don't like it. My body's like, what the hell? But I'll change. I'm sure I'll, like my birthday's coming up, so I'll have a little birthday cake. I'll have a little bit. So find a way of eating that helps you, But look, I also went ancestral because I thought I need a lot of fat, because your brain is, I think it's 70 or 80% fat. And I thought the amount of work that I'm doing on my brain, it probably needs a bit of extra energy. But look, you've been incredibly kind listening to me waffle on through this. But whatever you've gone through and whatever you are going through, I need you to fight for yourself and clear your landscape and clear your life from the people who are destroying you. Or trying to, or nefariously just trying to fly underneath the radar so no one else sees, but you do. And give yourself a break, all right? Like, you're an incredibly great person, you're an incredibly kind person, and the world needs you right now. The world needs you to turn your light on, and your light's been off for so long, and your life is so cold, and you're even cold to yourself, and stop doing it. Just stop doing it. If you're in a marriage where it's cold and you're having to, keep yourself in the cold and protect yourself from this stupidity that you've seemed to marry, seem to have been married to. I didn't say that quite right, did I? Stupidity, stupid person that you're married to, then get out. Life is too short. And, all your friendships, whether you've known them, oh, I've known them for 20 years. If they're a knob, get rid of them. Very rarely do we find people who are willing to grow so fast with us. And when you come out of trauma and when you come out of anything that's abusive or cold, you have a lot of growing to do. So that takes a very special friendship to be able to withstand that growth spurt. You're going to have to grow a lot very quickly. So don't worry, but darling, please, please fight for yourself. Okay? Fight for yourself, do the right thing and get you back. Because you're an incredible person. And I would love you to live the dream that you've always wanted to dream, which is the version of you. When you see nice outfits on the TV or on the social media, you think, oh, I'd love to wear that, but I can't because blah, blah, blah. Wear it. Do what you need to do to get in a position where you can wear it. Look pretty, Feel nice. Be around nice people. And if that means that you have to be alone for a while, then you have to be alone for a while. Who gives a shit? I've been in hermit mode for about a year, but it's the best year of my life because I'm not prioritizing anyone anymore. And I haven't got vultures around me asking me questions all the time. Oh, come and let's. Oh, I'd love to go for a coffee with you. No, what you mean is you want a free session. I'm not stupid, So that this whole year has been about just finding out where my feet are, Because I've been catapulted into this psychic stuff. I came out with it and I wasn't quite prepared for the vultures, yeah. But anyway, it's been a great year of just looking after myself. It's great. So you do you. You focus on you. Life shouldn't be about survival. It should be about living. Life, enjoying it, So get in a position where the world is working for you, life is working for you, and it will do that when your internal resonance is in a state of consistent joy, consistent gratitude and appreciation. Then you will see the most amazing magical things happen. Things will bend and shift and lean towards your advantage because you are the sun. And you're giving life to everything that leans into you. So everything needs you when you are burning bright and really happy. I have seen the most incredible things happen for me since I took my life back. Yeah. Since I took my mind back, my emotions back, my physical health back. Even just making that decision, I don't want to go therapy anymore. It's just not working out for me right now. Just taking that back because I know therapy can make you feel like, oh, I've got to go. I've got to go. I'm not ready for that conversation yet, so I've got to go. And I thought, no, I don't want to go anymore. Because I did what I needed to do and I spoke about what I needed to speak to. I don't need to drag it on. And just that empowering move felt great. So be more empowered, take your life back and be the absolutely significant and wonderful person that you know that you are. You're just hiding it. Don't be shy. All right? Don't be shy, sweetheart. So get back on your feet. And I hope I didn't re-traumatize you, but I think sometimes it's best to just lay bare everything that's going on so that you can feel like you're not alone. And that is my absolute mission. All right, is to make you feel heard, seen, and felt. All right. So love you loads as always. Come here for a big cuddle. My arms are out. Ugh, squeeze.